So what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? Do you have what it takes? Do you have drive and passion and desire, but you just don't know how to put it all together? Well, we have got the show for you. Join Daniel O'Griggs. Each week, he's going to break it down. Daniel's going to show you how to go from A all the way to Z. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O'Griggs.
So look, I want to give everybody a reminder. 8 to 9 out of small businesses still fail every year. Every year. So the odds are always against you for all of those out there bragging about entrepreneurship, bragging about starting a business, bragging about any of that stuff. And I'm talking about full-time entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not trying to down anybody, but making money on the side isn't really just like a full-time entrepreneur building up a business. You got a LLC for it or whatever you want to call it. It could be a DBA. I don't care. But look, 8 to 9 out of small businesses still fail. Now, the point of me telling you this is that while you always hear all of these different success stories and all these great things that's happening, I want you to understand that you still have to conduct business. You still have to hustle. Sports Authority, Circuit City, if you still remember them, these were multi-million on tops of million on tops of million dollar grossing companies. And they're gone. Now, yes, time shifts and different things happen. And there's some other big corporate companies that, you know, that struggle and have a tough time doing things. But look, the point of it all is that you have to keep going at all times. Nothing ever stops. Like, you hear so many people saying, you know, you want to be entrepreneur, have your own business so you can build it up to a certain point, then sit back with your hands behind your head. Like, it doesn't work like that. Trust me, I know. I know people firsthand that have that gross millions on hand, and it's still something that they have to be involved in. Now, maybe a lot of these people, maybe they only put in, you know, 4 hours a week on it, or 4 hours a day on it, or something like that. They don't put in as much time, but you still have to keep on going. You still have to be a part of that business. You still have to run it. I want people to really understand that. And a lot of this comes based off of, you know, I'm very involved with LinkedIn, and I love LinkedIn, and I talk about success that I have at the same time, I post very authentic things, man. I mean, I'm grateful and I'm happy that I'm not struggling at the moment in regards to like continuing to build up my business in respects to like revenue or something like that. But at the same time, the moment I sit back with my hands behind my head and think that everything's all gravy, It's gonna begin to go downhill. It is. And so a lot of things that you see on social media and all these great success stories and from point A to B, all these are just milestones. That's all they are milestones. If you talk to any of the, I'm talking about big, we'll say big name influencers per se, they're always working to drive more business. Because there's so many things you have to talk about. There's so many things you have to think about, should I say, from margins to, okay, we want to scale higher. Do we want to get more customers and clients, or do we want to have less or the same amount of customers and clients and have higher price points? Like, you got to put all of these things into consideration. Like, you have to continue to hustle and continue to hustle. You got to continue to put out money for marketing. You have to continue like to do things repetitively. To build your business, and then even when it's built, like for me or how I look at it, there's no such thing as maintaining. Like, there's no such thing as maintaining. Either you're going down or you're going up, because times shift, things shift. Commercials are still popular, don't be fooled, but social media has a huge part in how you reach your customers, right? It's evened out the playing field in regards to like a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs, just solopreneurs, can hop on and grasp a lot of clients without having to put up a lot of dough like that they wouldn't typically have, right? Even like SEO, search engine optimization, finding people on Google, Yahoo, Bing, or whatever it may be. Social media has taken away a lot from that as well. I personally believe a lot of it is going to be dead in regards to like it's going to be way too hard to try to figure out exactly how to get certain search results online just because of how crazy things are going. But look, like back to the primary subject or the intro of this daggone podcast. You always have to hustle. Whatever piece of success you have right now can be here today and gone tomorrow like that. I hope you heard me snap like that. Gone quickly. Because you think that the piece of success that you had or the milestone that you hit is like an ultimate part of success. And it doesn't work like that. So if you're on a grind right now, you just started your business or you've been had your business and you're continuing to try to build up and you continue to struggle. And the moment you do hit that piece of success, do not be fooled. You have to continue to work like you don't have it. I'm always in that grind mode. No matter how great my business is doing, no matter how bad my business is doing, I break down everything, especially coming like we're in December. Oh, well, yeah, we're in December right now officially. So I take time out, man, and I break my company down. What my margins are looking like. What are some dumb things that I did? What's some marketing I did that didn't work? Could it work? Did I do it wrong? What things are working? Like what direction are we trying to go? Like internally, how can I help my team out better? How can I be a better leader? What do I need to do personally? Like I audit the hell out of myself, the hell out of my business. I do the same thing for everyone on my team. So just breaking things down to be able to continue to build it up. That's the intro. If you just now listening to the Inspire Daily Grind, if it's your first time listening, should I say, we're about authenticity. We're talking about entrepreneurship. We're talking about building businesses. We're talking about people that had great success stories. We have people that just have a startup and trying to get things going, but it's about being authentic because there's something behind the beach selfie. There's something behind the Instagram, the LinkedIn, the social media posts where everything is looking great. Everything is looking gravy. There's a lot behind that. A lot of times there's a lot right in front of it, but a lot of people are putting a mask over. So I like to bring out the real because this is a journey. It's not like a quick sprint and you're done. Like this is a marathon, baby, and you got to keep going and going and going. So Daniel Griggs, The Inspire Daily Grind. If you want to listen to other podcasts, I don't know where you're listening to it right now. You may be on Empower Radio. You may be on iHeartRadio. We're on all of those. iTunes, whatever it may be. If you're on danielogriggs.com, thanks a lot for visiting my website. You can listen to all the previous podcasts. Today, this week, we're going to continue on our list. The simple questions to ask yourself, starting a business, your entrepreneur, right? You already got a business. We already got through questions 1 through 7. We got 17 total. I'm elaborating on these questions because I want you to get like the full spectrum of it. Of course, I'm giving a lot of my own personal opinion, my own personal experiences with all of these. So if you want to listen to questions, you know, what we went over with questions 1 through 7, you can definitely visit those on previous podcasts. Today, we're starting question number 8. I'm hop right into it. What is my risk to test? Talking about starting up a business. What is my risk to test? A startup is nothing more than a hypothesis. And the first phase of every startup is testing that hypothesis. How difficult, costly, labor intensive, time intensive will the test be to conduct? How many hypothesis adjustments, pivots should we reasonably make based on opportunity? All right, they make this sound way more confusing than what it is. Pretty much what I'm looking at is proof of concept. That's what I'm looking at. Like, how much is it going to take to really prove whatever startup you have works? That's how I look at it. I could be completely wrong about how they're trying to put this question, but regardless, this is how I'm putting it. My show, this is how I'm putting it today. So look, you have to prove the concept with whatever you come up with. Now, some things don't take as much proof of concept per se. You know what I mean? So I have a web design company. Yeah, people need better websites. Now I have to have a proof of concept in regards to like what I'm presenting. Me, I present the fact that I can help someone's business grow. In other words, I can make you more money. I can bring out your brand and really like make it resonate across all platforms digitally and create this whole structure for you. You know what I mean? Like I can prove that concept. But there's some things that's like a lot of products per se. Like there's a high risk with it because you have to prove the concept. One thing that's extremely popular these days are apps. A lot of people are designing apps. Like, you know, my company, my agency, we design apps and develop apps for, you know, for our clients. But man, I break it down for them. I let them know, like, look, I know you want this app, but let's start from the basics. Like, give me the basics of what this app is going to do. how you're going to do it. Like when they come and present stuff like, oh, I got the next biggest app idea or something like that since Facebook or Google or some high end social media. Oh, man. Like the first thing I'm thinking to myself is like, oh, they got their hopes really high. Now, I'm not going to down them or anything, but look, if somebody's presenting something like, hey, just build the app for me. Like there's a lot more specifics that we need. There's a lot of things that need to go into it. And really, that lets me know that, look, if you're just saying you just want this app built, blah, 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 this is going to be one heck of a tough project for us because we need to understand a workflow. We don't just need an idea. You have to have everything together and like even proof of concept, because the way that you market the workflow of the app or even the website itself has to flow with everything that you're doing. So there's a lot of people, especially when you're talking about apps, there's a ton of people out there. I know a lot of y'all got these ideas with apps or even if it's a website itself, sometimes a certain service. Like, understand you have to have a proof of concept. Like, you have to prove that it works, not just like, oh, what? Who wouldn't want this? Or there's people out there now that's asking for it. Like, you got to understand, you have to look at it from there's an audience that wants this. Like, break down your target audience. Who is it that wants it? Who's going to buy? And I'm not getting too detailed on that because it's actually the next question. But look, have a proof of concept. First off, before you can prove that it works for the consumer, you have to like prove that it actually worked, like the workflow of the app or service or product internally. I don't care if it's a t-shirt, like if you got a message or a movement going on, like you have to prove that this is something that's going to work. You have to have proof of it. You have to like prove like, okay, this is the idea behind it. This is the whole story behind it. Like you have to have something that's going to build it up. Sometimes that may include just your story. Like what's the story behind a service that you provide? Maybe you're a coach or something like that. And it's like, okay, you know, I like to do coaching for women that have problems with this in their lives. Well, what qualifies you besides some kind of degree or test that you've taken? Like what qualifies you to be able to coach women on that? And so it may be like, well, this is my story and this is what's helped me. So while I may have these degrees or these certificates or whatever it may be, like I know firsthand what they're going through. Like that's part of proving a concept from an internal perspective, right? And so now I'm going to go ahead and hop into question number 9 because it branches off to breaking down that target audience and then figuring out like once I know my internal process and the workflow of everything that I have, this product or service, then I can figure out, you know, my target audience. So question number 9, who is going to buy and why? Getting people to part with money is incredibly challenging. And outside of your family and your closest friends, no one cares what you're doing. I'm going to repeat that right there. Outside of your family and closest friends, no one cares what you're doing. You need to take that to heart if you're listening to this. Get very specific about the type of buyers you're trying to reach, their motives, and your ability to reach them. What methods are you going to use to acquire customers, and what is the acquisition cost to do so? So let me break this down. This is your target audience that they're talking about. As they say, like, who is going to buy your product and why? You need to break this down to the T. Start very broad, very general, and then branch off from there. Like, okay, my target audience is, let's say millennials. I always have people hit us up about, oh, we want to reach millennials. So we'll say millennials. Your target audience is millennials. Then break those millennials down. Okay, men or women? Maybe it's both. Okay, well, then you put both. What age range? Because millennials is it's a pretty decent age range. I think it's from like 24 to 37, something like that. I could be wrong, but it's a pretty big age range. It's like 10 to 15 year difference when you're talking about millennials. Well, you have to approach them completely different. Like, we'll say if it's women, okay, these millennials are women. Are these women that are single? Are they married? Are they engaged? Do they have kids? Do they have a family? The location, ethnicity, if it applies, like what are these different demographics? Like break it down to the T. And a lot of people don't like doing this because they're like, oh, if I have a broad audience, then I can get a lot more leads. Well, that's true. But then you're going to spend a lot more time trying to qualify all of these cold leads. When you break your audiences down and get very specific, you narrow it down and you have less leads, but you have more hot and qualified leads. So then you don't have to spend as much time trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to get these leads in that are, you know, this big, broad amount of leads. So you narrow them down. And then, but this is the thing, like, you can have 5 different target audiences and you cater to each one of them differently. Like, I won't name 5, but let's just say if it's women, you have single women, you have women that are married but don't have a family, women that are married that do have a family, stay-at-home moms, and something else. I think it's like 4 of them, right? You can cater to each one of those audiences completely different and capture each one of them. So when you figure out, like, who you're going to buy, like, who's going to buy, that's the first part, who's going to buy, break down that target audience, then figure out why. You have to capture people. You got to give them something to engage with. And I know you hear that all the time, and I'm not going to be general with it. I'm going to get specific with it. When I say give them something to engage with, I'll go back to what I'm talking about. Give someone a storyline. Like, what's the storyline behind it? Like, if you're a coach, I'll go back to the coach part. Why should somebody trust you to be their business coach or life coach or anything like that? Like, if you have a story that, like, directly connects with them, it's perfect. And it gives them a why. Of course, you may have good services or great services, and of course, they may need, you know, this particular service. But when you give them a why, that's engagement. When you give them a, not just a story tell, but you give them something to really connect with, like, this person will understand me because they have done this for other people that was in my situation, or they have a story that they were in a position just very similar to where I'm at right now. That's giving someone a why. Like, even from big corporations, you know, I was talking to one of our friends that were out here for Thanksgiving break, and he works for AT&T, and we was talking about customer experience. And I went out and I said, look, my thing when I'm talking about customer experience for, I'm going to go with, like, sporting goods type stores. So, like, let's say Dick's Sporting Goods. Me, I have a strong belief that, first off, if people are buying online, you need to go with what the, like, if that's where your audience is flowing to, go with your audience. Don't fight against it. Oh, they're going, everybody's going online, but we're trying to get everybody in store. Don't do that. What I call it is pissing in the wind. When you piss in the wind, it just goes everywhere. There's no direction. It may go everywhere. It's going to go on your leg, going to go on your ankle, all types of stuff. I'm a country boy. When I was younger, man, my parents told us you go outside, you had to stay outside. We couldn't come in the house for any. You wanted something to drink, you go to the side of the house, you turn the water faucet on. I'm from Texas, too, and during the summertime, it gets hot. So you turn that daggum water hose on. You better let it run for about 10, 15 seconds because it's going to be boiling. It's going to be boiling hot when it first comes out of that water hose. But anyways, you drink outside. You got to pee. You better go around the house. You better go behind a tree on the bushes or something like that. And if you're peeing outside and the wind blowing, it's you're pissing in the wind. It goes everywhere. There's no direction, man. Get in the house and get a toilet. This is what I'm saying. Like, look, the purpose of it all is that do something with purpose and intent. Like, so many people, like, you don't have a why behind what you're doing. You just have a product. You have a service. You don't break down your target audience. You don't figure out what they want. You're so broad. You don't really have a direction. You're just pissing in the wind and it's going everywhere. You have no direction. You don't even know where it's going. Even if you get in leads, even if you get in sales, like, it's so sporadic that if you try to go back and scale anything, it's so hard to scale because you didn't really have direction. Get direction. Know what it is that you want to do. Know what it is where you want to go. So when you're talking about who's your audience, who is going to buy and why, figure out and break down your target audience. Then say, okay, what's going to make these people want to buy from us, right? If it's a stay-at-home mom, a lot of them like certain particular things, like as a group, as a target audience. So you have to capture them in a certain way. You can even capture them during certain times. Like if it's a stay-at-home mom and I'm doing some kind of Facebook ads or any kind of ads, maybe you're doing like Google AdWords or something. I don't know. Maybe I want to capture them and I know I can capture them in a certain time. Maybe it's a stay-at-home mom and they have the kids at home and you know those kids are going to take a nap around a certain time frame. So maybe between 11:30 and 3 o'clock p.m., I'm going to throw out some ads because that's when mom can relax, sit back, or she's knocking out some chores, but she's not so worried about the kids because they're taking a nap. Like little things like that. That's really breaking down your target audience and really capturing them. And then whatever way you market, whatever advertisement that you do, you give them the why right there. I mean, you can ask a question to try to engage with them or whatever it may be. You can talk about how great your services are. Maybe you shoot them over to like some kind of Yelp or Google reviews. I hate Yelp. But anyways, like some Google reviews or something like that. And it gives them more of the why. But you got to put this stuff down on paper or digital paper, physical paper, whatever you want to do. Like put it down. And that's your marketing plan. That's your marketing approach. That's the way that you're going to really scale everything. And when you have this direction, you know exactly what does and what doesn't work. And it will allow you to be able to grow your business significantly. Because what does work, you will know, okay, this is working great. Let me put more money, more time, more effort towards it. This isn't working. This is something that could work and we're doing it wrong, or should we just abandon it? You know what I mean? So who is going to buy and why? That's a very short question, but it can be taken and there's so much more that can be put into it. All right. We got one more question we can get through today. Question number 10. Can a concept be easily described and easily understood? Nothing complicated goes anywhere. If your potential customers, employees, and partners can't easily understand exactly what you're doing, you're in big trouble. This is the elevator pitch type deals what I'm looking at. Like, you need to be able to tell somebody what you do immediately. If I run into someone and they say, oh, I see you build websites and want to get more information about my company, I can tell them quickly. Like, of course, you know, we're a web design agency, but this is what we focus on. We really capture your target audience. We figure out like the brand message you want to put out there. We structure your website, social media, all that stuff around it. At the end of the day, all our job is to build your business by making you more money and making sure that brand is on all platforms. And we can get to a lot of different details in regards to that. But that's the gist of it all. Like, you got to be able to tell somebody what something does, what you do immediately. We're talking about 10 seconds. You should be able to spit it out like clockwork. I mean, I don't know if there's something you need to go practice in a mirror. I was never the type of person to go practice something in a mirror, but I think it's something you should write down. I mean, I don't care if you're a personal trainer. Like, if someone asks you what you do, you just can't be like, oh, you know, I train people and whatever their physical goals are, we create strategies to help them accomplish them. Like, that's so generic. Get specific. Put your own twist in it, but make it sound like understandable. The reason my twist is about growing a company's business, like making them more money by increasing their brand. And it's very different than most agencies because, trust me, I've did my research. I love to compete and I look at what other competitors have done or what other competitors do. And for my industry, most of them just talk about how great their designs are. And we can take your idea and bring it to life. Like, of course, that's cool. But like, I tell people this is how it's going to make you more money. Like, I get to knowing, like, okay, what's your story? What's the story behind your brand? What's the story behind this company? We talk about big corporate companies. We're talking about big corporate clients that I have. Like, if I'm speaking to the marketing director, what's the direction y'all trying to go? What's the purpose of you getting a new website? Like, how do you feel this is going to help y'all? What is it going to do for you? Are you looking for it to bring you more money? Like, we break it down because everyone has different situations. Everyone has different reasons why they want to invest money into growing their brand from whatever platform or whatever, you know, way that they want to go. So when you talk about, you know, the concept, what can be easily described and understood, you really need to write down what your company represents and see how you can sum that up in literally no more than two sentences. I'm not talking about run-on sentences, no more than two sentences, and be able to tell someone and it's easily understood. Like someone that has nothing to do with your industry. I know they can get tough sometimes depending on what industry you're in. Like, certain industries are just tough and only if you're in an industry are you able to understand. But yet and still, be able to break down and say like the concept of what you have. And I'll go back to the app deal. If you have an app out, you need to be able to simply tell someone what that app does and the purpose of it. You know, there's a ton more details you can get into with it. But think about it like the elevator pitch. You're on the first floor. Let's say you're going to the fifth floor. You have a few seconds to tell somebody what's going on and what your company does and what you do. And you should be able to do it. This is all the time we got for the questions, but check this out. I'm going to go back to the intro. This is the outro. Remember, 8 out of 10 to 9 out of 10 small businesses still fail every single year. Every single year. And there's a lot of statistics why there's a huge percentage breakdown. I've looked it up. A lot of it has to do with, they always say there's no market for the business they have. I agree and disagree with that. I think people just don't know how to capture the target market. I think the next one was like they built the wrong team around it, all types of stuff. But at the end of the day, regardless of that, I want everybody to understand when you're building a business, it never stops until the day that you die. That business, you have to keep going on with that business. And two things are going to three things are going to happen. When you die, your business is gone. Or if it passes down to somebody else, it's gone for you. Either you're going to die, your business is going to die, or you're going to sell it. Those are the things. Three things are going to happen. Definitely let me know your comments wherever you're listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening in and tuning in. This is Daniel O. Griggs, Inspire Daily Grind. Chat with y'all next week.
Join Daniel next week as he takes you through another walk of how to become a very successful entrepreneur. It's the Inspired Daily Grind with Daniel O. Griggs.